Today we are continuing the illusion, our series where we've been talking about the temptation to create an illusion of ourselves versus who being secure in who we are in Christ because of Jesus. And each week we talked about different things that would cause us to create this illusion and how to deal with them from an identity that is securely rooted in Christ. 2 weeks ago we talked about failure, and then last week we talked about pain. So today, we're going to be largely in John 21, so you can turn there. It's in the New Testament, a little past the middle, actually a lot past the middle. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. John is one of the gospel accounts of Christ's time on earth. We'll be in John 21, starting in verse 15. And while you're turning there, I'm going to ask you guys to take 10 seconds to pray that God would teach you something this morning. Well, God, only you have the words of life, and so will you teach us from those words this morning. And we ask this in your name. Amen. If you were here a couple weeks ago, you saw me attempt a magic trick. I got it right on the second try. And the whole point of that magic trick, the whole crux of it working, was that I got you guys focused on something else. The girl up here showing you her card while I was messing with the deck of cards that would allow me to perform the illusion. And but there are also times where having our eyes focused on something else will cause us to miss something big. And as an example of this, I want to talk about Emily Corley, who is a leader right there. Emily, wave your hand. Emily has given me permission to show this video from a couple years ago. It's some security footage in the town center of Emily. Let's go ahead and take a look. In that video, Emily was focused on what I'm sure was delicious yogurt. She was focused on other people, actually, like engaging with them, which is awesome. Essentially looking every which way but forward, when forward is what would have maybe been best for her because she missed that pole right in the middle that she just smacked the left side of her face right into. And what we want to talk about today is how our eyes can sometimes get fixed and focused somewhere so much that we miss something that is really great. And the thing that causes us to miss that is comparison. And today we're going to talk about comparison, how comparison can tempt us to create an illusion of ourselves, and how it can also create insecurity, which I know you guys deal with insecurity. And here's what I want to let you know is that I deal with insecurity on a daily basis. I feel like a lot of 2019, that's been one of my biggest struggles, is insecurity. How do I compare with other people? And I feel insecure compared to others. And so as I was preparing this message, man, the Lord was speaking to my heart. And I just want to let you know that I am in the same place that a lot of you are, where you feel insecure. You're tempted to feel insecure. So we're going to learn how to deal with comparison and insecurity out of an identity that is securely rooted in Christ this morning. Right? And by comparison, I mean looking at someone else, some other situation, circumstances, and then lining it up with your life to see how your life matches up. That's what I mean by comparison. And that's an illusion that in itself is an illusion. If we buy into it, will bring insecurity, but also frustration, strife into our lives where it does not need to be. And here's what you need to know. God does not call us to compare, but to be confident in our identity in Him. He doesn't call us to compare. He calls us to be confident in our identity in Him. My two best friends since ninth grade are guys named Kyle and Jody. We were in a small group together like a lot of you guys are. Props to sixth grade students for finally being a part of a small group now. That's exciting. I was a part of a small group with some other guys, but also Kyle and Jody starting in ninth grade. And we also played football together. Here's a picture of us. I'm number 26 on the right with a really goofy face and a 70s haircut. We will not bring that hair back. Jody is on the left. Kyle is in the middle, number 89. And these two guys were some of my best friends in high school. Go Unicorns. That was our high school mascot, in case you're wondering. I will say the only unicorn mascot in the whole country is in New Braunfels, Texas, at New Braunfels High School. Go Unicorns. You can't say that about your mascots, Cougars and Lions and whatever else you are. Vikings, look, they're all copies of some other mascot, but not me, baby, not me. All right, but here's the deal. The reason I tell you about these guys is they were my two closest friends all through high school. They were my two closest friends all through high school. But if I wasn't careful, I found myself tempted very often to compare myself against those guys. Jody, the guy on the left, he played football in college and honestly, super athletic. If he wouldn't have blown out his knee in college, I think he could have actually played in the pros. I really do. That's not just me being a biased friend. He could have legitimately played in the pros, but he blew out his knee. The guy in the middle, Kyle, also could have played in college. He was getting recruited by Oregon, but he had back issues, and he was like, I think I'm out after high school. Kyle has untapped strength. When we were freshmen in high school, ninth grade, I saw him power clean 300 pounds. And a couple years later, I saw him bench press 400 pounds. And look, I could hold my own a little bit, but I wasn't quite that to that level, which is probably not a shock to you guys. And I would find myself very tempted to compare myself with them and their athletic ability. And I bet you do the same, or at least you're tempted to. It is part of our broken human nature to always be looking and measuring yourself by others. But here's the danger. Insecurity flows from comparison, always. It always flows from comparison. And the reason for that is because there will always be somebody to compare to. I want you to think in your mind what you are best at right now. Everybody think in their mind what they are best at. It could be math. It could be football. It could be Mario Kart. I don't know. Yeah. Think in your mind what you're best at. And here's what I want you to know. There is somebody, maybe even in this room, but for sure somebody in this world that is better than you at that. And even if you take an extreme case like Michael Jordan, you know, who everybody was like, he's the best ever. And now there's debate, whatever. But even Michael Jordan in his darkest moments would go, man, I wish I had what that person had or what that person had or what that person had. Because there is always somebody to compare to. And if there's always somebody to compare to, insecurity will always flow from comparison. However, if we could be confident of who we are in Christ, we will experience less of a need to compare ourselves to others, and we will understand how to deal with insecurity when it rears its ugly head. And so as we look at what unfolds in John 21, we're going to see three damaging things that comparison does. Here's the context of John 21, verses 15. Starting in verse 15, Peter has denied Jesus three times the night before he was crucified. Jesus died and rose again. Jesus visited them in John 21. They ate breakfast, and then Jesus and Peter have the following conversation, and starting in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and somebody else will dress you and lead you where you not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then Jesus said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. That's John. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who's going to betray you? And when Peter saw him, when he saw John, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive till I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. So in this interaction, Peter is restored in his relationship with Jesus after he had denied him three times. Jesus also affirms God's calling for Peter to follow Jesus, to shepherd God's people. But just like Emily, we see Peter's eyes go elsewhere. John happens to be walking near them. Anytime in John when it says the disciple whom Jesus loved, he's talking about himself there. And Peter sees him and he goes, what about him? And in this moment, we see comparison pop up its big, ugly self. And we're going to look in this passage to see three damaging things comparison does. It removes our confidence, it removes our joy, and it replaces our mission. Comparison does all three of those things. And so let's talk about this first one. Comparison removes our confidence. You don't have to raise your hand, but in your mind, if you have Instagram, I want you to answer this question. How many of you have ever deleted a picture on Insta because it didn't get as many likes as you wanted? Just think about that answer in your mind. And if you have ever done that, comparison is removing your confidence. That's the whole reason you would delete it. You feel insecure because you're not getting the number of likes that you want. And the number of likes that you want is obviously based on the number of likes you see other people get. And if you have done that, in that moment, you have let comparison remove your confidence. And there are a ton of other ways that that happens also. Let's look how it happens with Peter in John 21. So let's think about Peter for a minute. This was a guy who was just kind of an ordinary fisherman. Jesus comes to him and says, hey, follow me and I'll teach you how to be a fisher of men. Invites him into something greater than anything he's ever known. Over and over again, we see Peter do dumb, brash things. He says stupid things without thinking, which I can relate to a lot. And Jesus always restores him. In this passage, he gets firsthand experience, in-person experience of the risen Jesus, of his sins being forgiven and restored into right relationship with Christ. And then you see Simon, Jesus refers to him as Simon. You see Simon Peter. That's because that way at the very beginning, when Jesus called him, he changed his name from Simon to Peter. And that word Peter means the rock. Okay, so Jesus changes his name to the rock. Now, it's one thing when Dwayne Johnson changes his own name to the rock. And he's a big dude, right? He seems like he would have a lot of confidence. And maybe rightly so. But when the creator of the universe changes your name to the rock, how much more confident could you get past that? When he's like, hey, I'm changing your name. Simon, it's kind of lame. Sorry there's any Simons in here. It's not actually lame. But he goes, forget Simon. You're going to be the rock. Like, how cool would that be? That would be awesome. And that's what Jesus does. And so Peter has no reason to not be confident. Yet in this moment, Peter's confidence is gone because all he could think about is, what about John? What about him? It's worth noting that John describes himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. And it might be weird to you that John wrote it that way, probably because it highlights the closeness that John and Jesus have and how John is impacted by that personally, how wonderful that is to him. But man, I'm guessing in that moment there's a chance Peter wants that. He goes, hey, I know I'm the rock, but how come I'm not the one that Jesus loves? You know, what name is that? I want that. Or he wanted to be the closest to Jesus. And instead of resting in the confidence of who he is in Jesus, he loses all confidence. And it's weird to me as I read that to think Peter could have lost confidence in that moment. Could have been like, wait, Jesus changed my name to the rock. Why am I not confident right now? But yet, I do that all the time. If I'm honest, in my broken and sinful human nature, I want everybody in this room, if you had a list of power rankings above your head, I would want my name to be at the top of every one. That I would be the favorite person of everybody in this room. And when I feel like that's not happening, that causes, because I compare, I think that person might be their favorite person. That causes me to be insecure, to lose my confidence of who I am. And it's easy for all of us to get wrapped up in that. So what do we do? What do we do when that happens to us? And here's the answer. Comparison removes our confidence. Finding our identity in Christ restores that confidence. So when you're tempted to compare and comparison tempts you to lose confidence, here's what you do. You remember your name. In the words of Mufasa, remember who you are. That's what you do. You remember who you are. John 1:12, the first chapter of the book that we're reading, says this, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And if you are a believer in Christ and you have put your faith in him, you are a child of God. And you've got the baddest, strongest, most powerful dad possible in all the land. And that's the kind of confidence that you can have. I remember as a kid, I always felt like I was very safe and confident around my dad because he seemed like he knew how to handle every situation. He could talk to anybody, no matter how they approached him, no matter how awkward they were. My dad could just handle any situation. And I always felt safe and confident like he was going to know how to handle anything. I mean, and how much more can we all feel that same feeling with our Heavenly Father, who is sovereign, who created everything and loves us? We are His child. If we have put our faith in Christ, we are children of God. And that can be our confidence. Right? We find our identity in Christ and what He's done on the cross, and we're children of God, and that restores our confidence. Not because of who we are, but because of who our dad is. Comparison removes our joy as well. You know what has a really unanimous approval rating, like everybody loves them, myself included, are the videos where soldiers are reunited with their families. Everybody loves those. It brings a tear to everybody's eye. I'm not even going to watch them right now. Even as I was finding this, I was bawling, right? But I'm secure in that, and that's okay. And this moment that we're seeing, this is what happens with Peter in John 21 that we just read. His friend, who he had walked with for 3 years, his Savior has died. And in this moment, they get a really intimate time together. And they're reunited. And even more than that, man, Jesus reinstates him. It's not just a reuniting like we see here, but it's also a reinstatement. Another way to say that is that Jesus restores Peter relationally and positionally. Relationally, because there's nothing hanging over their relationship anymore. Jesus obviously paid for Peter's sin on the cross when he denied him 3 times. But Peter can rest easy now that they are completely restored. And positionally, Jesus even affirms Peter's call, Peter's opportunity to build up the Big C church, to go feed his sheep, to go play a role in that. And Jesus even gives Peter the knowledge of how he's going to die. Like, how many people even get that? And that's huge for Peter. And we have to put ourselves in Peter's mindset. Right, he is 100% restored with his Savior and his friend. And man, imagine the relief, the peace, the joy that must have swept over Peter in that moment. But man, even the joyous reality of that does not last long because of that comparison. It removes all that joy that could have happened because that comparison takes Peter's eyes off the joy of what's going on and causes him to focus on what about John? And that happens to us, right? Like all the time. Like if you've ever been in a conversation with somebody and you're talking and you're having a great conversation and then something kind of is going on over here and like at first it's kind of just distracting and then you kind of like start maybe like watching it out of the corner of your eye while you're still having this conversation here and eventually like you're having this conversation but now you're listening into that one too and you're just like, you're trying to listen to 2 conversations and you're like glancing and like, yeah. And you're like, and then eventually you're just like, hey, I'm going to go get some punch. And you're really just going to see what's happening over here. That's what comparison does. In the midst of great joy that we experience, comparison goes, hey, take your eyes off that. Look out over here. This person has something that you don't have. Don't you want that? Or this person doesn't have something that you have that you don't want. Some kind of condition, circumstances that you're in that stink. Don't you want to be where they are? And that's what comparison does. If you have gotten a 92 on a test, and you're fired up about that, but then you see somebody else gets 100, and all of a sudden you're bummed at your 92, you've let comparison remove your joy. You've let comparison remove your joy. If you've ever been fired up about something, and you compare, and somebody else has gotten a better version of that, you've let comparison remove your joy. If you're bummed about it, you've missed out on the joy right in front of you. But if comparison removes our joy, guess what? Finding our identity in Christ restores our joy. There's a great passage in Acts 5. I would encourage you all to read this week where some of the apostles, people who Jesus used to start his church, are forced into custody. After they're freed from prison by God, they're arrested again. And this time they're beaten. all for preaching the gospel. And then something really crazy happens in Acts 5:41. It says they rejoiced because they had been worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Christ. And what a crazy testimony to the idea that finding our identity in Christ restores our joy. They are identified by Christ. They are beaten, but they rejoice. And that is what an identity in Christ does. That no matter what is going on, you have a reason to rejoice. Because you are identified by the name. The name above all names. And don't let comparison steal that away. What a miss that would be. So we saw that comparison removes our confidence, our joy, but it also replaces our mission. If you have put your faith in Christ, your mission is to love God and love his people. And it's hard to do that when you're comparing yourself to the people that you're supposed to love. Because here's what your mission becomes when you start comparing yourself to others. Your mission becomes, do I feel better when I compare myself to them? Do I feel better when I compare myself to them? And so then at that point, if that's your mission, you're no longer trying to love that person. You are making them a measuring stick by which you can only be happy if you measure a little bit higher than they do. And so you can't love a person when they are your measuring stick for how happy you're going to be. You just can't. The last thing Jesus says to Peter before we see the John part is he says, follow me. Jesus is giving him a mission, bringing him back to the mission he had already given him, to make disciples, to be used to establish the church. And it seems like Peter barely even hears this call, follow me. He's not even probably looking at Jesus when Jesus says it. He's looking at John. And then he's like, what about him? And comparison replaced Peter's mission. Peter's mission became, how do I measure up to that guy? What a miss. What a miss. A great picture of how our mission is found in our identity is a clip from this movie that I really love called Life is Beautiful. And in this movie, it's all foreign, so you're going to have to read subtitles. I'm sorry to make you read on a Sunday morning, but here's the whole movie. This Italian guy and his family are taken to a concentration camp during World War II. And the dad and his son are separated from the wife. And the dad's whole mission, one, is to take care of his son and keep him alive, but also to protect his son from the horrors around him in this concentration camp. So much so that he does all kinds of things to make it seem like his son doesn't even know that this is a bad thing that they're there. He tells his son, hey, this is a game, a big, long game. And so in this clip, well, we're about to see some of the Nazi soldiers come in to talk to the people in this concentration camp to lay out the rules. And he's going to ask, hey, who knows German that can translate? And this dad does not know German to translate in Italian to these people. But he's going to go, I volunteer, and we're going to see what happens. What could be an easier place to hate your life, to compare your life to literally anybody else's than in a concentration camp? But this guy knew his identity. He was that boy's dad. And he was going to take care of that boy. And he was going to help him not even understand the horrors that are going on around him. He's going to protect his son. And that identity helped him stay on mission at the risk of his own life. Over and over and over again. That was just one example of it. In the midst of all kinds of turmoil. And guys, if comparison replaces our mission, finding our identity in Christ helps us remember that mission. When Jesus says, what about John? When Peter says, what about John? What does Jesus tell him? What about him? What is it to you? You must follow me. And that is the mission. And finding our identity in Christ helps us remember that. We have all we need in him, regardless of what anybody else is doing, where God has called anybody else to go. You just be faithful to where God has you. Don't compare yourself to others. It will replace your mission. You will lose the ability to love God and love his people if you are stuck comparing yourself to others. I saw a dad do this on some TV show one time, and I'm going to steal it for my own kids. And they were at the breakfast table or and they were eating. And one of the kids looks over at his sibling's plate, and the dad goes, "Hey, you don't look at someone else's plate to see if you have less than they do. You don't look at somebody else's plate to see if they have more than you do. You look at somebody else's plate to make sure they have enough. Because if they don't, you want to share what you have with them." And man, that is the perspective. That is the mission we have. And when we look to the left and to the right at people, that's what we should be thinking. How can I help them? Not how do I measure up to them? Two very different. And I promise you, where you're going, "Hey, how can I help them?" There is life there. And there is no life in comparison. Comparison will rob you of so much. Your confidence, your joy, and it'll change your mission up. Even if comparison makes you feel better, when you compare yourself to somebody, you have still missed it. Even if it makes you feel better, you have still missed it. George Washington Carver said, "With the wrong perspective, nothing is right. But with the right perspective, nothing is wrong." And here's what I mean by that. We all know the person that seems like everything is always wrong. They're always the victim. It's always somebody else's fault. Something's always going wrong. But we also know the person who always seems like, no matter what, they're good. And they're going, "Man, how can I care for somebody in the midst of what's going on?" They seem unshaken, always ready to support others. And the right perspective is this: I am a child of God, and if you have put your faith in Christ, you are a child of God with no need to compare, no need to be insecure in who you are compared to somebody else, but to be confident in who you are created to be and who you are in Christ. Unshaken, immovable. God's got you. Your name can never be blotted out of the book of life. That's who you are. I showed you that picture of me and Kyle and Jody and how I was really tempted to compare myself to them all through high school. And what could have easily happened is that I compared myself with those guys so much that they became obstacles to what I wanted. But that didn't happen. Here was us 2.5 years ago when I got married. They were the co-best men in my wedding. Jody and I texted yesterday. And the reason that happened is because along the way, man, I understood and I learned, and God put it in my heart, the greatness of an identity found in Christ. And comparing myself to those guys became less and less of a need. Still a battle, still a temptation, still a fight I have to fight in my heart. But man, as God continues to show me how good it is to have my identity in Him, there's just less of a need. And I've had such a rich friendship with those guys for the last 15 years. And I would have missed it if I would have just been stuck comparing. And I'm grateful for that. And guys, you can have rich relationships with people. You can be intimate with the Lord. And you can have a great relationship and a close relationship with Him where you're always growing. And 2 Corinthians 3:18, where you are increasing in one degree of glory to another as you build a deeper and deeper relationship with Him. But not if we're stuck in comparison. That only brings insecurity, and there's no life there. But in Jesus, with our identity securely rooted in Him, there's life. And let me pray that we'd find that. God, thank You that we are secure in You. God, thank You that You've allowed us to be, not because of our own works, anything done by us in righteousness, but according to Your great mercy, because You are rich in love. Lord, I pray that those of us in here that have placed our faith in You would understand our identity as a child of God, with the best dad in the world, the strongest dad in the world, and we'd be confident in our identity in You. God, that when we're tempted to look to our left and to our right to compare, God, that You would allow us to fight that because we are confident in who we are in You. And Lord, for those in this room that have not yet put their faith in You, Lord, this morning would You show them, hey, it's worth it. It's where life is found. And if that's you, I'd invite you to talk to a leader or talk to me or Rebe or Jacob or Ryan or any of the residents in here. Talk to somebody, because we'd love to help you figure that out. because it is where life is found. And so, Lord, help us. We can't do it on our own, God. We need you. In our flesh, we're tempted to compare all the time. But in you, we can be strong in who we are in you. We ask this, it's by your grace for our good and for your glory. Amen.